want a sermon today. Next week, I'm going to start a sermon series called Gifted. But this was placed on my heart this week. Everybody needs a circle. No man can exist as an island. And I think every person needs people around them, because whether or not you realize it, things move at the speed of trust. And in your life, you got to have people that you're connected with. You got to have the right things in your circle, and you got to have the wrong things outside of your circle. So here's what I'm going to talk about today. And when you hear me talking, instead of making this about people, I want you to see this as traits that should be in your circle. You're going to see yourself. You're going to see people that you know. And you got to give people the room to change. There may be people in your circle that have certain attributes that you may not necessarily have to ask them to move out of your circle, but there may be things about them that you'll see that you need to change. So when I'm going through this today, please be mindful of this. Don't just see it as people. See it as traits in your circle or traits you need to have outside of your circle. I want everybody to do me a favor. If you're writing or you're taking notes somewhere, I want you to name me five people in your circle. Just write that down somewhere. I want you to, five people that are in your circle. Five people that are in your circle. And I want you, you're going to study that circle when you go home, and you're going to figure out why they're in there, what they bring to your life. And then you're going to determine who needs to be in your circle. All right? So let's start with things that need to be outside of your circle, and we'll get to our scripture in a minute. I'm going to define things and traits that need to be outside of your circle. Don't just see them as people, because some people like this can change certain things about them and remain in your circle. We are a society of people of cutting people out of our circle. And I'm 2018, I'm cutting you out of my circle. And before you know it, you're going to be you by yourself, and no man can exist as an island, or you can come off as being arrogant. So here are the traits that you need outside of your circle. Are you ready? Number one is the unhappy person. They've been victimized in the past, and they don't want to move past that victimization. Nothing or anything anybody can do for them can make them happy, because they don't want to be happy. You need to have that outside of your circle. You all right in here? The next thing is ignorance. Ignorance is people who have never really accomplished anything, but they're full of advice that you should take for your life. And they're normally stubborn people, and they're not open to any ideas unless they're their own. All right? I'm not naming anybody you know in it like this, right? The next thing is this, is haters. You know, the world is talking about haters, but haters are this. They're really jealous and envious of you, and they slick have something to say about everything that you do. You try to celebrate something, but they always have something slick to say about it. All right? The next one is this, the trait outside of your circle is cosigners. Cosigners are people who will defend your foolishness, and they will allow you to stay mediocre. And watch this, defending you doesn't advance you. They will let you cuss everybody out on your job, get rid of everybody in your life, and say, girl, I got your back. And before you know it, you broke and lonely and by yourself. Cosigners are no good unless they can check you as well as defend you. Does that make sense here? The next thing is this, is victims. Victims are people who are super sensitive, and they're very easily offended. They spin things in every situation and always become the victim. They always become the one that's hurt. They always become the one that's left out. These are traits that need to be outside of our circle. Another trait that needs to be outside of our circle is lazy. Laziness is normally masked in people who complain. They find a loophole. They find something wrong. They find a gripe and a complaint about everything because they are trying their best to avoid having to do work. Because when you eliminate the excuses, guess what? A person is going to have to perform on what it is that they say they can do. Another one is this. It's a five-alarm fire. You guys know this person. In one conversation, you will think the world is about to fall apart. They will have your faith going out the window. You talk to them one time, and you'll think a nuclear missile is about to hit this world. We need to have all these math. We need to make sure we're prepared. The world is about to. Y'all remember Y2K years ago? Y'all remember in 2000, Y2K, there were people that were talking about all this. I had this guy that went to church with us. He had a survival kit, and he was trying to get everybody at church to have this survival kit because in 2000, when it hit the midnight, everything was going to fall apart. He was the same guy that just believed all the just crazy stuff. These people in your life, they will have you reacting to things, and they will have your faith going out the window. Can I tell you guys something? Yeah, the flu is bad this year. There are things that are going crazy, but you are covered by God. Now, don't you go out and be crazy and do nothing stupid, but if God got you covered, you don't have to walk around in a bubble and scared of everything. You go ahead and live your life. Does that make sense in here? Another thing, and this is humongous. If you never took a note in your life, I'd write this one down and put it in my head. The gossip and the instigator, I'd keep them out of my circle. Their favorite line is this: I hate drama and I hate mess. But they're always in drama and they're always in mess. They are addicted to chaos and have no clue. Because their first line to you is, I hate drama. I can't stand mess. But watch this. The instigator and the gossip person, never confronts things head on. They'll stay out of situations, and they have influence. They just shift it in the wrong direction. Am I making any sense in here? These are not necessarily people. These are traits when you see them in your circle. Because I'm a living witness, lazy will wear off on you. After a while, you'll find yourself talking yourself out of doing stuff that you know you need to be doing. Victimization will wear off on you. Gossip will wear off on you because your ears perk up. I see stuff on Good Morning America. I see stuff all over that people are talking about, oh, they dating who? And I'm like, I could care less. It ain't pay my mortgage. It ain't pay my electric bill. I don't care who they dating. I don't care who they broke up with. But people are bent towards drama. I think it's great for the prince over there in England or whoever he was. He's dating an African-American lady. I think it's great, but I ain't spending no hour watching them. I don't care what they do. I got stuff to do. You all right? I got stuff to do in my own life. But people who are bent towards drama, they will have things in your circle that will waste your... Now, I'm not saying nothing against them. But I'm just saying people are bent towards things that have nothing to do with furthering their life. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I'm going to show you the things that should be in your circle, and I'm going to be out of your way. Romans 12 and verse 3, it's on the screen. It says this: For through the grace given to me, I say, everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to. That's a mouthful right there. Because we can be drunk off potential, and we can think we're further in life than where we are, than what we're producing. But it said to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allowed it to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since then, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us. Each of us should exercise them accordingly. Now, here are the gifts that you should have in your life. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I'm about to give you gifts that you should have in your circle to see your life come full circle. Here's the reality. There are some great people in this world, and many of us never get to experience the fullness of who they are because we size people up. And you don't see them according to how God sees them. You see them according to your experience in life. And I want to challenge you guys on your job, wherever you go, see people for who God created them. Find out the story behind what you see. People's lives make a whole lot of sense when you figure out why they do what they do. Here's the first trait that you should have in your circle. It's prophecy. It's prophecy. It should be a C. Sorry about that. This person is not concerned about being liked, but they're not a jerk. They are a likable person. You want to hate them because they bring truth into your life. They're going to tell you what is. They are a mirror and a map. They show you who you are, but they also can tell you where you can go. And God creates this person. I think everybody needs this person in their life. They don't have to walk around with the title prophet, but this person is a truth bearer. They're going to be able to speak into your future and stir your creative juices, but they're going to be able to check you on where you are right now. They give you foresight and they give you insight into life. They are a mirror in this. They show you who you are. They show you your uprising. They show you your downfallings. They can reconcile the gaps in your life because they're not on this side or that side. They're about truth. They can tell you why you're experiencing certain things in situations. And they also are a map. They can show you what God wants to do in your life. Let me give you an example. I ran across a gentleman at a certain stage several years ago at our church. And he said he had pastored before and he was giving me, he saw how we did things. And he said, you guys have great potential. He said, you have bigger potential than what you even realize. He said, you guys are going to grow astronomically. And I got excited. You know, when somebody tells you about your future, man, you get so excited. But he said, not how the way you're operating right now. He said, you run things like a mom and pop shop, and you have your hand on everything, and things will never grow as long as you're touching it. I wanted to punch him in the throat and hug him all at the same time. You know that person you want to hug and then punch him at the same time? Because he called me on my stuff. Everybody needs somebody who can speak in their future, but call them on their stuff. You need somebody to say, man, you're going to conquer the world, but you're too much right now. You bring too much emotion. You bring too much baggage to the situation. I need you to pull back a little bit, not make everything about you, and let God work through you. Everybody needs that person in their circle. That makes sense in here. The next thing you need in your circle is an exhorter. This person is the encourager in your life. This person is like, they have the gift of encouragement. They cheerlead you on. They have your back. They will go to battle for you. They send you a text. They give you a gift card. They give you a meal. When you least expect it, they just, how did you know? They can speak directly into who you are. And they have this way of making you feel like you can conquer the world. Everybody needs this person to speak life into you. In the worst situations of life, you need this person that says, you got it. I don't care what's going on. You got this, and it's not a bland, you know, you're too blessed to be stressed. There's nothing wrong with that saying, but it's very pinpointed. Hey, I see you doing this. I know what you're going through. They're that person that God lays on your heart that just sends you this random text that says, are you okay? And you're like, how do they know? I ain't really going to tell you what's really going on. And you send back them praying hands in that little emoji that just says, thank you. You don't really want them to know what's really going on in your life, but you're thinking to yourself, what do they know? How much do they know? God gives this person the ability to inspire you. They ignite something inside of you, and every person needs the exhorter. You know what else somebody needs in their life? There are people with the gift of service. They want nothing from you. They just want to help. They just show up. You don't even know how they know certain things. They're the person when you're struggling, and you call the electric company, and they say, somebody's paid your bill, and it's like, who did this? They'll never let you know who did it. They're the person that just shows up with random stuff. That they're the one to pass you a mint, not to tell you your breath stinks, but just says you're in front of people all the time, and I want to make sure you're so fresh and so clean. They're the person, no, I'm serious. They're the person that finds out what kind of cologne you wear and just hands you a gift card or that cologne that says, I want to make your day better. They're the person that works beside you that makes your the paper is always in the copy machine. They're the person that makes sure his coffee is always in the coffee pot. This person with the gift of service, here's what's important. You cannot abuse them. Because most of these people will give you the shirt off their back, but you cannot abuse their gifts. God put them into your life. I don't know how they know. They just cook for everybody. And it's like, I'm looking at a gentleman in this room. His mother used to always cook. And he's like, I know you're not the richest person in the world, but where do you come up with this stuff? They just have the gift of the serving people. And people who have the gift of service, they get their fuel and their energy from God and not necessarily seeing you smile when they get. Because watch this. If you're looking for somebody's smile as a result of what you do, sometimes you will never get a thank you. You will never get a card to say, thank you for thinking about me. Your return and your fulfillment comes from God. But you need somebody with the gift of service in your life that just shows up and says, hey, I noticed your car been a little dirty the last couple weeks. Here's a gift card to the car wash down the road. They ain't trying to tell you you're sloppy. They ain't trying to tell you. They care about you. You need a person with the gift. They're the most unselfish. Some of you sitting in this room have that gift. You see stuff all the time, and you find a subtle way to bless people. You need somebody with the gift of service. You know what else you need in your life? You need a teacher. This is tough for many. There's a book called The Seven Laws of Teaching. I'm not going to go through all the laws, but all of you who are interested in teaching, I think it's one of the best books that somebody ever gave me, and it shows you how to communicate. Everybody needs a teacher in their life. Barbara got on me the other week because I was on Isaiah so tough about doing something. And I said, Isaiah, I'm not double knotting your shoes another day. Because his shoes walk around untied, and he would tie his shoes, and he'd get halfway, and he'd say, Daddy, can you double knot my shoes? I said, you're in the fifth grade. If you can figure out how to do this PS4, you can figure out how to, y'all know what I'm talking about, how to double knot these shoes. And Barbara said, you're fussing at him, but you've never taught him how to double knot it. Teaching him is not just showing him, it's getting there in there and having him do it. Everybody needs a teacher in their life. Everybody needs somebody who can instruct them. You take, for instance, many of you didn't grow up in a home where you saw a mother and a father married together. You need somebody to instruct you on what this is marriage is like, because what you see in the movies is not what marriage is like. You do know they get paid to act like that, right? You do know it's scripted, right? All their arguments are scripted. All their love scenes are scripted. You need somebody to walk you through to teach you to say, here is what marriage looked like. I think every man needs somebody to teach them how to be a man. A 15-year-old boy don't need another 17-year-old boy teaching him about sex and about what life is like. He needs a man to instruct him and say, this is what a man does. I think every lady needs somebody, not the TV or social media. You need another lady to sit and instruct you. This is what lady do. This is what how ladies conduct themselves. This is how you be a strong woman. This is how God crafted you. This looks good on you. I think you should do this. I think everybody needs a teacher. I can always tell people who have been taught because they can maneuver in situations because they're not nervous, they're not reacting, because they've been taught well. I want to challenge you, leave something for the next generation. Leave something for the people coming behind you by teaching them something. I think there are a lot of great cooks in this world, but I think it's not good for that meal to die with that person. I think just like a big mama needs to know how to cook, she can pass it to her grandsons. She can pass it to her sons and daughters, and they can pass those recipes on for years. That's called teaching. Yes. You know what teaching requires? It requires patience. Because it's a whole lot easier to do stuff for people than to show them how to do it. But it'll save you a whole lot less nerves in the end if you would just show somebody how to do it. How do I live this thing out? When it comes to church, we are very judgmental with people. I think you should do this different. I think you should do that different. But can I ask you a question? For every opinion about person, how much time have you spent across the dinner table from somebody just getting to know them and instructing them on, this is how you conduct yourself. I see your personality. I know your personality. This is how you temper it. This is how you interact with people. I think the world needs teachers. That makes sense in here? I want to challenge you, if you get a chance, pick up that book. It's by Milton Gregory, The Seven Laws of a Teacher. You know what else we need? We need somebody with the gift of them impartation. These are people who give to you with no strings. If you're taking notes, this is what this person does. There's somebody sent from God with an assignment to invest something from God that they have into your life. They impart things with no strings attached. Anybody can teach you. You can learn a lesson from anybody. I go in Walmart and watch people. I got a lesson last night on time at the basketball game because this man sit here for 5 minutes trying to figure out if he was going to go up the steps and down the steps. And he had a whole list of people mad at him, ready to punch him in the back of the neck because he couldn't figure out whether he wanted to go up or down. I learned a lesson that a whole lot of us waste time because we don't know how to make decisions. I don't even know that man. I learned a lesson from him. That's different from an impartation. An impartation is something extremely different. It's somebody God sends into your life. If you don't meet them but for one day, and they do something and they speak something into your life that changes your life forever. There was a man that I met. Some of you know him. His name was James Daughtry. I met him years ago, and he's gone on to be with God now. When I tell you, he used to, in one of the roughest seasons of my life, he would call me every morning at a certain time and pray with me on my way into work. He would tell me how to conduct myself, how to present, how to get my nerves together. And I can't call him now. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But during that season of my life, he was instrumental. And after that season was over with, he said, why are you still calling me at 6:30 in the morning? He said, that season is over with. There are people that God will send into your life, and he will send you into their life. They may invest money. You may be about to start a business, and they say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but here's $10,000 seed money for your business. I believe in what you're doing. It may be a connection. It may be that God sends them into your life to say, I know the mayor, and there's a project on this side of the city that you need to be involved with. I want to make sure that you're at this setting, you're in this place, and they impart that network into your life. But if you're trifling, if you don't trust people, you will miss the impartation that God sends into your life. You got to be careful. Who is God sending? And most of the time, they don't look like what you think they should look like. Lord, if I were to size that man James Daughtry up, I would not have known that he was the type of man that he was. He walked around and run over tennis shoes sometimes. His shirts would not, he wasn't just the most well-dressed man at times, but this man had it. You got to be careful how you size people up. You have entertained angels unaware. You've entertained people that God has sent into your life, but you have reduced them to what made you comfortable. When God sends people to impart into your life, look, every day he sends them to you. It could be that person that just comes by and rubs you on your back when they know you're about to go off. That's an impartation that just says, calm on down and take several seats. And don't you go off and lose your job. You have no idea. I'm serious. Yeah. It could be that God, somebody in here, God has put somebody on your heart. He wants you to go speak to somebody. He wants you to go connect. I don't know why I feel like mentoring them. I don't know why I feel like doing this for them. It could be amount of money that God put aside. It blessed me some time ago. One of my friends came and preached here, and he was about to go on a mission trip. and he talked about what he was about to do. There was a gentleman that sit here in our seat, in the seats. He walked up to him and he said, I've had this $100 and I have no idea why I've had it for the past couple of months. And while I was sitting here, he said, it's set in my Bible. But while you were preaching, the Lord told me to give this towards you, to give that to you for your mission trip. He had no idea that my friend, that was the exact amount he needed for one of the kids that was going on a trip with him. When God puts something on your heart, do it. It will change somebody's life for the rest of it. Is that all right in here? The next thing we need in your circle, I'm telling you how to define your circle to move you forward in life, is leadership. It's somebody you are accountable to. It's somebody you will listen to. Everybody needs somebody that when they talk, you shut up. I believe every couple needs an accountable couple that, because you know, we go back and forth with each other, and thank God for the Holy Spirit. He tells us when we're wrong. But we need people who can interject into our life and say, hey, this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. Everybody needs somebody that when they show up, you stand at attention. Because many of us are very smart. We're very gifted. But we need that person who is a leader who not just tells us what to do, but they buy influence into our life and we believe them and they can shift us to the next level. Who is it in your life that when they, I don't care if you got more degrees than them, I don't care if you make more money than them, who is it in your life that you listen to because they have wisdom and you allow them to lead you to the next place in life? Everybody needs a leader. Everybody needs somebody that they're accountable to. Nobody is that great that they cannot be touched. You need somebody who has the ability to walk up to you and say, are you loving on your wife? How's your intimate life? They're not trying to get in the bed with you, but they're trying to see, are you guys functioning? You need somebody, hey, what you been looking at on your phone? How you been on websites you ain't got no business being on? Why are you in my business? You need somebody in your business. Are you spending time? Are you going on vacation? Are you doing this? Everybody needs a leader that says, you know that ain't your best job. You know there's more in you than that. You need somebody to push you to the next level. You need somebody proven in life that can push you to the place. Does that make sense in here? Everybody needs a leader. The last thing that we need is we need somebody who has mercy. People with mercy are those who give you relief and compassion. You are going to make mistakes. I would love to tell you, and you know this, that all of your mistakes are unintentional. I didn't even know what I was doing. But a lot of the mistakes we made, you know what you were doing before you did them. And we said, God, I know you're a forgiving God, so I'm going to get back to you on the back end on this. Mercy is this. Mercy is not the person that says, it's okay. We're going to be all right. No. Mercy is the person that picks you up and says, I'm going to take you to okay. They don't judge you. They don't put their preference and their experience on you. But they say, I know you're better than this. I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to walk you to your next place in life. Everybody needs somebody with the gift of mercy. They will cover you, and the world will never know what you've gone through. They'll never know what you've experienced in your marriage. They'll never know the mistakes you made in life. They will treat you just as if you've never done a thing, because watch this. Most of the stuff you do is not the world's business, because the worst place to be judged is the court of public opinion. Because people will hold stuff over your head for the rest of your life. But a person with the gift of mercy is the person that you can share all of your stuff with. And they will cover you and they will protect you, but they will make sure that you're okay so that when you come out to the world, they will never know you ever had a thing going on in your life. Who is that person with the gift of mercy that is very confidential, but is very truthful and is very loving, that you can be honest about where you are? You can be honest about the mistakes you made, because here's what I've learned the hard way. Satan holds you hostage to what you keep private. And the more you keep things on the inside, I know it eats away at you with this thing of guilt. You need somebody with the gift of mercy. You ain't got to use social media or Facebook to vent your guilt. You don't have to go share it with the entire world. But you need somebody with the gift of mercy that's able to pick you up and say, this is not who you are. And you know what their main gift is when they have the gift of mercy? They restore you. Many times we share stuff with people and you get it off of you, but that's it. You need somebody that you can share and they can pour back into you. That says, you don't have to beat yourself up for the rest of your life for doing that. I understand it was wrong. I understand that what you went through, but you need somebody pouring back into you. You need somebody giving you a mercy. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews 4? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. What a person with the gift of mercy does, they help you get the guilt off of you. They build up your confidence so that you can boldly go to God and get what you need. And you don't have to live with self-doubt and condemnation for the rest of your life. Who is that person in your life that has that gift of mercy? I'm going to go back through them one more time. You need somebody to prophesy, to speak truth, They're not on any side but the side of truth. They can speak to where you are. They're a map and a mirror. You need somebody with a gift of exhortation. They're your cheerleaders. Now, here's the thing about your cheerleaders. They're that same person that when you were playing basketball and you threw the ball over the backboard, ain't my baby the best person out there? They're going to cheer you on regardless. So you need them in your life, but you also need a balance of truth with them. Is that all right in here? You need somebody with the gift of service. Who is that person around you that just anticipates your need? Let them minister to you. And if you're that person, minister to somebody. You need a teacher. Who is a person that instructs you? You need somebody to impart into you. Who is on assignment in your life? They may not be there forever, but they're here for the moment. What are you supposed to get from them? I know this, that people come into my life for a reason, season, and a lifetime. Some people will not be around forever. Some people are just around for the day, and some people are around for a moment. I am not disheartened when people move on, as long as I got from them what I'm supposed to get from them, and I gave to them what I'm supposed to get to them. You got to know why this person is, and some people are going to be around forever. You got to know the difference in who those people are. And then you need a leader in your life, somebody to push you to the next level, and you need somebody with the gift of mercy. Does that make sense in here? Stand to your feet all over the building. Can I get you to do me a serious favor this week? I want you to sit down with those gifts. And I want you to examine your life to see if you have all of those in your life. Your world will become full. Your circle will become full. There's a whole lot of stuff you don't know what you don't know. And there's a lot of stuff that we're filling our way through that we need the right people in our life to move us to the right place. I want you to bow your head. If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you say, I want to give my heart to Him, I want to be saved and forgiven of all my sin, I just want you to slip your hand up at your seat wherever you are, and I'm going to lead you to the Lord. Yeah. I see you. Everybody, I want you to repeat after me. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. I accept the forgiveness of my sins, and I accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. I am saved. I am forgiven. I'm a child of God. I want to pray over you right now. I want to pray that every barrier that will cause you to have the wrong circle be removed. Your trust issues, your insecurities. Father, help us now to define the right circle in our lives. And not necessarily people, but to get the wrong traits out of our circle. The victimization and the gossip and all that. It may not necessarily be removing people, but it's getting things out of our circle. And help us to put the right things in our circle so we can see life clear. Father, I'm convinced of this. We don't know what we don't know. And the people in our life that you've assigned to us, send us impartation. Send us mercy so we can be restored. Send us teachers so we can move forward in life. Send us exhorters and encouragers. Send us people with the gift of service that just see what we need before we even know what we need it. Father, send us people with the gift of prophecy who can speak truth with love into our life. We thank you and we honor you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go tell somebody, define your circle this week.